Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and you know, we don't really do the typical sports talk. Not a whole lot of the, I'll tell you what, it might be time for Ben Roethlisberger to just hang it up. You know, he lost the AFC Championship game, and I just think this might be his time to just get out, and the Steelers need to move on. What do you think? We'll be taking your calls. That's not really what we do. We try to apply some actual logic, maybe some common sense. We try not to overreact, get all emotional to the world of sports. You know, you hear all these people on sports radio these days. I hate Ben Roethlisberger. He keeps losing the big game. He loses to Tom Brady every time. I think it might be time for the Steelers to start looking to the future. See, that doesn't make any sense. But I'll guarantee you, that kind of sports talk is happening today. See, we don't do that here at the Daily Dose. We'd rather laugh at those people. We'd rather laugh at both the Steelers and the Patriots. Maybe look at actually what happened, what may happen next. If you would like to recommend the podcast, we appreciate it when you do that. Please let friends, family, coworkers know they can subscribe to the podcast pretty much anywhere that podcasts are hosted. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play, Audio Boom. Head over to blogtalkradio.com. They've got all of the episodes over there. Or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, where you will also see new articles every week. A new article went up just this week about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Something you might not realize about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Something you might not realize about a specific person not getting into the Hall of Fame. It's not the reason that we thought it was. Hall of Fame actually has a pretty interesting reason for not inducting someone into the Hall of Fame. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Check that out. See what you think. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Of course, Rogue Intel is a family of podcasts. If you head over there, you'll find a number of different podcasts, different interests, different things, all kinds of different podcasts that you are going to get addicted to, you're going to want to check out each and every week. So make sure that you head over to rogueintel.com. If you've got a question for us, you've got a comment, you've got some feedback on the podcast, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you need some advice on something. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or find us over on Twitter or Facebook at Daily Dose Sports, D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, of course, Super Bowl 51 is set. We take a look at the championship games and how both teams ended up getting to Super Bowl 51. Plus, we preview the Pro Bowl. Do we preview the Pro Bowl? I don't think that's what we do. We don't preview the Pro Bowl. We might talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl. We might laugh a little bit at the fact that the Pro Bowl still exists. You know, a few baseball players are headed to Cooperstown. They did get inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And of course, baseball screwed things up again because that's just what they do. There are a few things happening in the NBA we need to touch on. And of course, you have to be sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. It's usually topical. It's usually informative. Sometimes you might actually learn something from the Daily Dose Top 5. Sometimes you're not going to learn anything from the Daily Dose Top 5. I'll be honest. I never know which way it's going to go. Nobody does. It just kind of has a mind of its own. Make sure that you stick around for that. Of course, a sad story in Major League Baseball as Kansas City Royals 25-year-old pitcher Yordano Ventura was killed in a car accident early on Sunday. If you remember Ventura, he helped the Royals win the World Series just a few years ago. Young, talented player. It's a couple young pitchers we've lost in baseball just recently. You know, the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame did induct three new members last week. And once again, the baseball writers are showing us how to do things right. Don't they always? Doesn't baseball always get it right? Of all of the major sports, doesn't it seem like baseball is always just like, making the most sense? It's like baseball, NCAA, neck and neck. Stupidest things that can happen, usually between those two. Baseball likes to pretend that they're the social conscience for the game. But they kind of pick and choose when they get on that soapbox, don't they? Of course, the big names that are out there for induction into the Hall of Fame, we all know who they are. Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Unfortunately, those guys have the shadow of steroids hanging over them. Remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s? They were cranking the ball out like it was nothing, knocking out 70 home runs a season. Big deal. They're doing that in their sleep. And granted, it was an exciting time in the world of baseball. Now they're all being penalized for it. And we all know baseball, if there's one thing baseball won't stand for, it's baseball will not stand for steroids, right? They won't stand for illegal substances. It's not the way they do it. Hey, I get it. We don't want to show kids that cheating's okay. And it is all about the kids, isn't it? That's why they did it. I mean, these guys cheated, darn it. So they're not getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame because baseball will not allow cheaters into the hallowed halls of fame, right? That's what's happening, isn't it? Well, no, not really. Because remember, Mike Piazza admitted to using Andro. He's in. Jeff Bagwell admitted PED use. He just got inducted, just this year. Pudge Rodriguez, back in, what was that, 2004? Pudge Rodriguez lost about 30 pounds. Just all of a sudden, boom, 30 pounds lighter, looked svelte, looked cut. That was just magic, right? Maybe a few Jane Fonda workout tapes. Wasn't doing anything illegal, though, right? And of course, Tim Raines, he just got put into the Hall of Fame. Well, he never did steroids. Tim Raines wasn't a steroid guy. No. He didn't do steroids. He actually admitted to using cocaine even during games. But don't talk about that. Let's not bring that up. And what about the managers that oversaw that steroid era? Guys like Tony La Russa, he's in. What about the Major League Baseball commissioner that was on watch during that time? Oh, Bud Selig? Yep, he's in too. So it kind of seems that the baseball writers don't really care about what's right and wrong. That's not really what they're trying to do here. It seems more like they care about trying to do what they think is politically correct. It's kind of the era we live in, isn't it? It's not really a matter of, well, it's right, it's wrong, this is good, this is poor, this is ethical, this is unethical. That doesn't really matter. What's politically correct? That's what we've got to do. This really becomes more evident when you look at pitcher Curt Schilling. Now, we can debate whether or not Schilling should get in or not. Should he get in? Does he really have the numbers? I don't know if he has the numbers. I know that if it's a postseason game and the game's on the line and I need a pitcher, I'll give the ball to Schilling. I do know that. But this year, Schilling's votes went down 8%. Kind of weird. He wasn't a steroid guy. He wasn't involved in that. And it's also kind of weird because Schilling hasn't played any games since like 2007. That's 10 years ago. What changed? Why did his votes go down? Well, he said some things politically that some people didn't agree with. So they stopped voting for him. See, the Baseball Hall of Fame doesn't care about steroids. They don't care about drugs. They don't care about any of that. You know what they care about? They care that you think they care about steroids. That's what the Baseball Hall of Fame cares about. But let's be real clear. This isn't the whole, hey, we just want to do things, gosh darn it, we just want to do things the right way. That's not what this is. This is more politically correct BS as usual from baseball. Hey, how are your New Year's resolutions going? You still going to the gym every day? You eating healthy? Cutting back on the fast food? Maybe you're cutting back on smoking, drinking? Maybe your resolution was, hey, I want to spend money, you know, a little less carelessly. I want to be a little bit smarter about my finances. Okay, so you had a few slip-ups. We all have. You worked late one night. You hit In-N-Out hard that one night. Yes, you had the two double-doubles, and then you topped it off with the chocolate shake. And maybe you had a cigarette. And also, maybe you got drunk one night and did some QVC shopping. Okay, so you've broke a few resolutions, is what I'm saying. Don't beat yourself up. You're not alone. Because do you remember our New Year's resolution for LeBron James? That he would stop being such a millennial? Stop over-dramatizing everything? Stop being such a diva? That hasn't gone so well for LeBron James either. Don't feel bad that maybe you've broken a few resolutions. LeBron can't even keep the resolutions that the Daily Dose has made for him. LeBron still, every single time, looks like he got hit by sniper fire whenever he gets touched. Now, last week, of course, we all saw, LeBron flop to the ground when he got bumped by the Warriors' Draymond Green. Little bit of drama there. A little bit. Okay, a lot of it. He was trying to get a flagrant two out of the call. That's what that was. So it was some overacting. He flew down on the floor. But then, as bad as that was, that actually wasn't as bad as it got. Then he went on to say that the Cleveland Cavaliers do not have a rivalry with the Golden State Warriors. Wait, you mean that team that you've faced in the last two NBA Finals? You mean that team that was up on you 3-1 until the NBA banned your nemesis? Yes, that same Draymond Green from Game 5? See, that's what we're talking about, LeBron. When we made these New Year's resolutions for you, these are the kind of things we're talking about. More drama. More of your silliness. Stop being such a drama queen, LeBron. It's tiresome. I'm sick of it. And he's such a good player. He's such a phenomenal player. He is the single most dominant player in the NBA, bar none. You don't need this stuff. But this stuff is now stuck to his reputation. Admit it. You tend to overlook how good he is because you hate some of the antics and some of the flopping and some of the falling and some of the, oh, 110-pound guy just knocked me flat on my back. Yes, I'm 260 pounds, and I'm supposed to be the biggest, strongest player ever in the history of ever. Somehow he's going to the ground like he just got hit by a rifle. And by the way, while we're on the subject of LeBron James, have you seen the new game show? It's called The Wall. It's called The Wall. Apparently, LeBron James is an executive producer on an ABC game show called The Wall, where you try to answer questions and correct answers get you a green ball that you drop down a four-story wall and land on prizes. And LeBron James had a hand in creating this. Hold on one second. You didn't create this. It's called Plinko. It's been going on since Bob Barker did it back in the 70s on The Price is Right. See, this is more drama. This is more nonsense from LeBron. I don't want to be this way. I don't want it to come down to this. I don't want to have to harp on LeBron and stop being a diva. You didn't create anything. You watched Bob Barker, like the rest of us did, drop that stupid little Plinko chip down the board. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, you didn't win the car, but you were so close. We all saw it. Stop being a drama queen. Now, it would also be pretty fun right now to make fun of Carmelo Anthony. Don't forget, especially for me being here in Denver, Carmelo Anthony, of course, was with the Nuggets. But he wanted to go to the Big Apple. He wanted to work on his brand. And since leaving Denver, things have gone horribly, horribly wrong for Carmelo. And yes, it's funny. We're all kind of laughing a little bit, aren't we? And Carmelo has taken a ton of heat because the Knicks have gone out and got some people to try to build a little bit around him. Now, their hands are tied a little bit because Carmelo is soaking up a bunch of that contract money. So they only have so much they can spend. But the Knicks have gone and got Derrick Rose. They went and got Joakim Noah. They drafted Kristaps Porzingis. Yet here the Knicks sit at 19 and 26. They're in 11th place in the awful NBA Eastern Conference. Now, if they were in the 11th place in the West, okay, it'd still be horrible. In the East, it's even worse. But now there's talk that the New York Knicks might trade Carmelo. Of course, he has a no-trade clause in his contract, and he says he would only approve a trade to possibly Cleveland, because him and LeBron, you know, are boys. Maybe the Clippers go to L.A. You know, what a jerk. How dare Melo hold the Knicks hostage like this? How dare he want to stay in New York? He says he wants to stay. How dare he wants to stay? Wait a second. Didn't we just put Kevin Durant on blast for not sticking with his team in Oklahoma City? The Knicks knew what they were getting when they traded for Carmelo Anthony. There's no surprise there. Yes, he's a vacuum. When I was coaching, he is what we would call a black hole. The ball goes toward him, and it gets sucked up and swallowed, and it never comes back out. But that's who Melo is. It's who he's always been. Carmelo Anthony is who we thought he was.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
So the Knicks are either going to have to trade him to where he wants to go, which becomes a bit of a problem. Because, I mean, you look at this from the standpoint of Cleveland, or maybe the Clippers, and you say, okay, we know you only have two chances. You only have two teams that you can even trade with. We can ask for whatever we want. We don't have to wheel and deal with you. We know you only have a couple options. Like, we got a 50-50 chance. We're going to ask for everything and give you nothing in return. So either you trade him where he wants to go and just know you're going to pay a very, very high price, or you're going to have to suck it up. You're going to have to try to surround him with talent and enjoy his scoring, because he's Carmelo Anthony. He isn't doing anything else. He's not going to go out and be defense guy. He doesn't care about that. He's not going to go out and be rebound guy. Oh, if it falls to him, he'll take it. But he's not going to go out and dominate the boards. That's just not what Carmelo Anthony does. Enjoy Carmelo Anthony. That's just what you've got. You asked for it, and you got it. There he is. Hey, you might not realize this. You might not realize that a very important NBA anniversary took place this week. You know, Monday, January 23rd, was the 11-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant scoring 83 points for the Los Angeles Lakers against the Toronto Raptors. Kind of forget about that, don't you? 83 points a single game. I mean, closest that we've seen to that Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game, the job that Kobe Bryant did, just went out and just shot the lights out, kept shooting. They beat the Toronto Raptors, 83 points. So I thought it was pretty classy of the Lakers franchise. Decided to celebrate the greatness of Kobe Bryant this week. Just kind of shows the relationship that the Lakers maintain with their former players. Think about some of their former players. You know, they have the statues out front. Whether it's Jerry West or Magic Johnson or Kareem, whoever it might be, the Lakers have always had a very close relationship with their former players. And we saw it again this week as the Lakers celebrated that amazing Kobe Bryant achievement of 83 points in a single game by only scoring 73 points against the 15-29 Dallas Mavericks. Did you see that on Sunday? Lakers went out and put up 73. Kobe could have outscored the Lakers by himself. Hey, Kobe, we were thinking about you, buddy. Thinking about you. Thought we'd only put up 73 against a really, really bad non-playoff team. You know, that's an accomplishment that should be admired and revered. Well done, Los Angeles Lakers. Long live Kobe Bryant. I thought that was classy. Thought that was something good. Hey, we've got a lot still to get to. The Super Bowl is set. And you know, we have a few stories around the NFL that we have to make sure and touch on. Plus, we have an NFL-flavored Daily Dose Top 5 that you want to stick around for. We will be right back.
I say, boy. Every time I got to go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon can buy. Look at that. He's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee.
And this is Kim
from Round Trip.
So if you love travel as much as we love travel, you should listen to the Round Trip podcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Or check us out on iTunes at Round Trip with Renee and Kim.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case.
And I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com.
Got to talk a little bit of college basketball before we get over to the NFL, of course. You probably missed this story, and you're lucky if you did. But here in Colorado, I've got to let you know what was going on here, at least. You know, the University of Northern Colorado men's basketball team faced Weber State on Saturday. Now, the University of Northern Colorado is actually located in Greeley up north. It's about, I don't know, 45 minutes north of Denver. And the Greeley mayor, Tom Norton, was actually in attendance for the game. Nice of him to show up, support the hometown Bears there. But yes, Tom Norton was actually there. When you hear that, that's a nice story. That's good. Hometown mayor shows up for the hometown team, cheers on the Northern Colorado men's basketball team. Yeah, except that the hometown mayor got ejected after protesting a referee's call. Apparently, Norton got ejected from Saturday's game against Weber State after he got up from his courtside seat, walked out onto the floor to object to a referee's call. Norton said he wasn't on the court. He said that he was behaving. And then later, he got readmitted, but he had to sit way up higher. He wasn't allowed down near the floor. You know, I thought, and maybe I'm incorrect, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I thought when you're an elected official, isn't it supposed to mean that you do things just a little bit better than the average? Like the average slob, I see him walking out on the court, you know, disputing a call, getting in an argument with the ref. It's my home team. I'll do what I want. You know, you've got Shooter out there just yelling, drunk, acting like an idiot. But an elected official, you're supposed to do things better than the rest of us, aren't you? You're supposed to be a little bit higher than the rest of us, aren't you? I suppose this is probably a bad year for me to be saying that as we looked at the elected officials that we've had in this past 2016 year. Okay, they're not any better than the rest of us, are they? In fact, they're significantly worse than the rest of us, it seems. You have to be a worse human being, apparently, to be an elected official anymore. Like when we were kids, isn't that what you thought? Like you looked at the local politicians or you looked at the president or whoever it might have been, you're like, man, they must really do things right. They must really have it together in their personal life. No, we don't look at things like that anymore. We're like, no, you have to be a mess. You have to be an egomaniac. You have to be a complete psychopath to get into that position. Horrible. Way to go, Tom Norton. Tom Norton, yeah. Way to go, Tom Norton. Way to embarrass the University of Northern Colorado. Can you kind of take it easy on Northern Colorado, by the way? Like, they need all the help they can get. You can't be beating them up. Jeez. Idiot. All right, let's get to the NFL. Got a lot of things to talk about in the NFL. Now, the rumor out is that the San Francisco 49ers have a deal already in place to hire Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan. Hey, you got to give Shanahan credit. He has shown a knack for reviving offenses pretty much everywhere that guy has been. And when you see exactly the way the Atlanta Falcons are playing right now and what they are doing offensively, it's pretty impressive what Kyle Shanahan is doing. But he's done pretty well every single place he's gone. He had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing a little bit better. He had Washington playing a little bit better. Actually, bizarrely, had the Cleveland Browns at least competitive on offense. Everywhere Kyle Shanahan has gone, he has revived the offense. But Kyle Shanahan, I've got some good news for you, and I've got some bad news for you. I'll give you the good news first. If you take the job with San Francisco, you're going to a very, very proud franchise. You're going to one of the historically great franchises of all time. They have a history of success. They have a history of winning Super Bowls. They have done some pretty incredible things in San Francisco. The San Francisco 49ers have a good amount of money to spend in free agency. And they're going to have some pretty decent draft picks. Because of how low they finished, you're going to be able to pick up some players. So there's your good news, Kyle Shanahan. Now I'm going to give you some bad news. You have no quarterback. You may have to go out and try to get Kirk Cousins to come out. You have very, very little talent in San Francisco. We can count the bona fide NFL players on that roster on one hand. They don't have very many of them. So you don't have any talent. You don't have a quarterback. Oh, and by the way, Kyle Shanahan, you have an idiot for an owner. The big question that I have for San Francisco, who are they going to get for a GM? Right now, they don't have a general manager. And you need some people very, very badly. That GM hire, if they do end up taking Kyle, that GM hire is going to be paramount to what he does. Because the talent level is so low, it is going to be on that guy to work free agency, to find people in the draft, to draft not just good quality drafts, but to draft deep drafts where they get quality all the way through the draft. That is the big question. Getting Kyle Shanahan, yeah, that'd be pretty big, I guess, for them. I guess that would be pretty important. And don't forget, he's got a little bit of history there. Dad was there as an offensive coordinator. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But you need some people really, really bad. Have to see how that all works out once the Super Bowl is over, I would imagine. Now, the championship games did take place over the weekend. Remember when college football, the bowl games took place, and we looked at those playoff games and we're like, man, those are bad. And then we got a great championship game. So far in the playoffs, the average margin of victory, almost 16 points per game. It's been painful to watch these games. These championship games this past weekend, I couldn't even watch them. Like, I had them on in the background, but you couldn't be glued to them. There was nothing to watch. Remember earlier in the season when we talked about the NFL numbers being down? We talked about TV ratings being down. This is a little bit why. It's not just the lack of great must-see players. There's not that many must-see players across the league. There's just not. The league is so watered down. 32 teams is too many teams. Now, we here at the Daily Dose have tried to cut 8, 9, 10 teams, but they keep coming back. I don't know what to do about that. But there's just not that many must-see players. But when you look at the championship games that we had this past weekend, all four of these teams have must-see players, don't they? New England, obviously, has Tom Brady. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, you've got the best quarterbacks kept winning. Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons with Matt Ryan. They have must-see players. But we don't have must-see teams. Who's the must-see team right now? How excited are you for the Super Bowl? Unless you're an Atlanta or a New England fan, are you really that excited for the Super Bowl right now? Like, we'll watch it because it's a party day. We'll watch it because it's the Super Bowl. We'll watch it because it's on TV. But I could care less. I have no rooting interest whatsoever in this game. And it's because there's not really must-see teams. The New England Patriots are doing as well as anyone. You can name about five players on their entire roster. Not a lot of great teams in the NFL today. NFL would better be very, very careful. I know it could never happen, right? Rome didn't fall in a day. It takes a while. And you have so many teams playing on so many nights, playing so many games. I don't know. NFL better be careful. First game on Sunday. The Atlanta Falcons beat the Green Bay Packers 44-21. The Atlanta offense was almost unstoppable. They cranked out nearly 500 yards. And their defense, for the most part, shut down the hottest quarterback in the NFL. Was there anyone hotter in the league coming down the stretch than Aaron Rodgers? Was there anyone you wanted to see less if you're an opposing defense than Aaron Rodgers? Probably not. And the Atlanta Falcons kind of shut him down. But here is my question for you, Daily Dose listener. Who feels worse this week? There's a few candidates that could feel bad this week. Who feels worse this week? I'll give you a couple options. Is that our sad music? I like that. That's good. Yeah, play the sad music. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
Rodgers kind of got beat up on Sunday. Let's be honest. He got hit 7 times. He got sacked twice. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had to carry the Packers from a 4-6 record. Remember when they were 4-6? People were questioning his relationship with his family. What's going on with his family? You know he doesn't even talk to his brother anymore. I don't know how that's newsworthy whatsoever. Remember they were questioning what's going on with his girlfriend Olivia Munn? You know she's ruined him. You know he's a horrible player ever since he started dating Olivia Munn. And then Aaron Rodgers led the Packers to 8 straight wins in a row. They went all the way to the NFC Championship. No, I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers. Especially, you look at, you know, what Aaron Rodgers is going home to. Yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers is doing okay. I don't feel bad for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, he probably doesn't feel too bad this morning. What about head coach Mike McCarthy? Mike McCarthy, let's be honest, his defense struggled on Sunday. I know Don Capers is up in the booth, and it seems like every time the Packers get pounded, we see Don Capers just up there looking completely and utterly confused, like he has no idea. He's looking out at the field, trying to figure out what in the world's going on. He has no idea what in the world's going on. He's kind of laughing. He's, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what we're doing. And we saw it again on Sunday as Green Bay's defense just got shelled. But head coach Mike McCarthy answers for that. That's his call. That's his defense. Defense struggled. Don't forget earlier this season, there were rumors Mike McCarthy was going to get fired. Remember all the rumors? Well, you know he doesn't get along with Aaron Rodgers. He can't get along with his quarterback. I don't know. Mike McCarthy might get fired. He might not last the season. Again, he ended up getting to the NFC Championship game. He rallied his troops. So no, I don't think it's Mike McCarthy either. So who is it that feels terrible this week? I mean, the Packers, I'm sure the Packers wish they had gotten one more game, but I don't know if they're feeling that bad. No, you know who I think might be feeling the worst this weekend? You know who I think might be feeling particularly blue this weekend? It's got to be the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys faced those Green Bay Packers at home last week and lost to them. Okay, that might not sound so bad. But I want you to think about all the people the Packers were missing. They didn't have starting wide receiver Jordy Nelson. They didn't have starting running back Eddie Lacy, cornerback Sam Shields, J.C. Trotter. Devontae Adams was banged up. Morgan Burnett was hurting. Christine Michael had a bad back. Why in the world did the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Green Bay Packers? In fact, let me change that. Why in the world did the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Green Bay Packers junior varsity team made up of backups and people we don't even know? The Packers had to go out and sign cut wide receiver Max McCaffrey, not Christian McCaffrey, Christian's older brother Max, remember he went to Duke? They had to go sign him. They didn't have enough people to fill out a uniform. Why did the Dallas Cowboys lose to that team? Like, you can hammer the Packers, and I'm sure things up in Green Bay. Should we tear up the defense? Should we blow this up? Is Aaron Rodgers reached his peak? I'm sure there's all kind of nonsense being talked up in Green Bay right now. If I'm Green Bay right now, I don't feel that bad. I feel a lot worse if I'm the Dallas Cowboys. I lost to that team full of backups where Aaron Rodgers put the entire team on his back and beat you single-handedly. Yes, I'm sure the Packers are upset. Not the end of the world. Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones, he is not a typical wide receiver. That dude is a whole different breed. He's so big, he's so strong, he's so fast, he completely changes what your defense can do. Your defense has to be very, very careful of Julio Jones because he can stretch your defense. He can stretch it horizontally from sideline to sideline. He can stretch it vertically from end zone to end zone. He can break any single play into a touchdown anytime. And you know, the weird thing about Julio Jones, he's not your typical diva wide receiver, right? You know, we talked about LeBron James and all the drama that he drums up. Julio Jones doesn't do this. He's not Odell Beckham. He goes out, does his job at an extremely high level. He doesn't distract anyone from their job. Julio Jones is kind of a throwback wide receiver. He's just a guy who goes out and takes care of his business in an era where wide receivers are the first guys to be thumping themselves on the chest, are the first guys to be promoting themselves. Hey, Antonio Brown goes out last week, films his own locker room, shows some things publicly that he probably shouldn't be showing. Because wide receivers in this era are all about, look at me, look at me, look at me. Julio Jones isn't that way. He's not that way. And as a result, that Atlanta Falcons offense is very, very dangerous because Julio Jones doesn't have to have a huge number day. He doesn't care. He doesn't go back to the huddle, hey, throw it to me. I need the ball. Give me the ball. It's not really about him. He just does his job at an extremely high level. It's going to be interesting to see what the New England Patriots do to try to take him away. Speaking of those New England Patriots, the Patriots blew out the Pittsburgh Steelers 36-17. I swear, Ben Roethlisberger like looked at Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was like, dude, hey, like I got blown out. You think you can do any better? And Ben Roethlisberger was just like, dude, hold my beer. I got something for you. And as much as the Steelers may have missed Le'Veon Bell, who left the game early with a groin injury, Big Ben missed some wide receivers more than that. Guys like Martavis Bryant, he could have used him, couldn't he, on Sunday? Of course, Bryant was suspended for a season due to another illegal substance violation. Because Ben Roethlisberger, like, he wasn't horrible. But, man, he didn't get much help around him. How many drop passes? How many mistakes did we see from the Steelers? Yes, I know. I get it, Steeler fan. The Steelers clearly recovered the Tom Brady fumble in the first half. This game wasn't lost on that play. That's not when the game was lost. The game was lost when the Steelers couldn't score from the 1 foot line at the end of the first half. That's when they lost the game. And on those first two plays, when the Pittsburgh offensive line got blown up, and then on third down, Ben had nowhere to go. Wouldn't it have been nice to have Martavis Bryant on that play? Maybe that gives them an option. Maybe they end up scoring. It has a completely different feel at halftime. That game was lost on that final drive before the end of the half. It was over at that point. You could feel it. The air went out of the Steelers when they had that touchdown. It got pulled back correctly, and then they couldn't punch it in three tries. Hey, give Bill Belichick a ton of credit. And he does it every single week. And I get it. And the Patriots, you can say whatever you want about the Patriots. Of course, Bill Belichick has the reputation, all the Spygate stuff and all the Deflategate stuff. And I understand it all. But, you know, when you think about this game, who are the key players for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Offensively, who are the key players? Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Now, Bell ended up getting hurt. But he wasn't doing anything before he left the game. He was averaging about 3 yards a pop on six carries. And Antonio Brown had seven catches for 77 yards. No big plays, no touchdowns, game over. Thanks for stopping by. Because Bill Belichick goes out every single week and he says, okay, what is it you like to do? What is it that you have success every single week in doing? Okay, we're going to take that away from you. Now do something else. And if you have other weapons and you can beat them in other ways, okay, then he kind of tips his hat to you and mumbles something and walks off the field. But he is going to take away what you do best. Now we've got Super Bowl 51 coming. Can Bill Belichick take away Julio Jones? Can he limit Devontae Freeman? I'll guarantee you that is his game plan. We're going to take away Julio Jones. We might double him. If someone else can step up and beat us, so be it. But we're going to take away Julio Jones, and we're going to stack the line of scrimmage and try to slow down Devontae Freeman. And if you can beat us, then I guess you can beat us. Now, does Matt Ryan have enough weapons? If he does take away Jones and Freeman, guys like Tevin Campbell, there's a few other people out there, Matt Ryan might have enough weapons to still do that. Can the Falcons' defense put pressure on Tom Brady? You know, I thought the stubbornness of the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday really, really hurt them. And I understand, you're the steel curtain. You do things the way you do, and you've always had this traditionally great defense. But I watched Pittsburgh continue to rush just three or four guys on Tom Brady. We've seen the teams that have success against Brady are the ones that put pressure on him. Tom Brady is 39 years old. He doesn't like getting hit. Nobody likes getting hit. He really doesn't like getting hit. But Pittsburgh had decided, no, we can get pressure with our front three. We can get pressure with our front four. We don't need to blitz. We don't need to do anything. And maybe Brady would have picked them apart. But he picked you apart anyway. The Patriots spread out that Steelers secondary. And of course, we know the Steelers played so much zone. He spread that out all over the field. And Brady just found the gaps in it, found the holes in it. And you just saw him, I would say dink and dunk, but it wasn't like he was throwing 3 and 4 yard passes. He was attacking them down the field, but he was just picking them apart slowly right down the field. Brady found the gaps in every single zone that they played, and they couldn't get enough pressure with just their front three or four. And their stubbornness and their unwillingness to send blitz packages at Brady, I really thought cost Pittsburgh a lot. That ended up hurting them down the stretch. The New England Patriots are headed to their 9th Super Bowl. 9th Super Bowl in franchise history. Pretty impressive. And I know that Bill Belichick, like we talked about, gets that bad reputation. I know now Tom Brady has a little bit of a mark on his career. But it's pretty impressive what they have done going to 9 Super Bowls in franchise history. It's a lot of Super Bowls. And I'll tell you something else that was impressive about the New England Patriots on Sunday. It's pretty impressive the way Patriots owner staggered out to the podium and accepted that trophy, wasn't it? Did you hear him slurring his words and babbling? Let's take a listen to Patriots owner Robert Kraft, completely and entirely intoxicated while up on the podium collecting the AFC Championship trophy. This is pretty good. This comes from CBS Sports.
What would you like to say about this team?
For a number of reasons, all of you in the stadium understand how big this win was. But we have to go to Houston and win one.
Robert, Jonathan, congratulations. Coach Belichick, I'm going to hand this to you and step back.
Yeah, I'm going to hand this to you and step back because I'm actually getting a contact high from Robert Kraft. Is there something to win one more? Like, is that a thing? If that's a thing, I didn't know that was a thing. I had no idea. Now, next week, we will give you our Super Bowl 51 preview. We do the Super Bowl preview a little bit different than other people. If you haven't been around for a Daily Dose Super Bowl preview, we do it a little bit differently. We look at some different things. Here's the thing, and you're going to hear a lot of Super Bowl previews over the next few weeks. You're going to hear number of people make their picks for the Super Bowl, and they're going to give you all kinds of stuff. Here's what happens when the Patriots have the ball, and here's what the Atlanta Falcons defense is going to do, and they're going to try to stunt this gap, and they're going to try to run. We break it down a little bit differently than what everybody else does. Just know this. Over the past three Super Bowls, we're 3-0 picking the Super Bowl. So you can go listen to whoever you want. Daily Dose is 3-0 when we pick Super Bowls. We're going to try to make it 4-0 next week. Tune in next week for our full Super Bowl 51 preview. This is the sad part about football. Football is now basically over. We've got the Super Bowl left. College football is done. The NFL is basically done. One game remaining. Oh, except for there is one game coming up this Sunday. You might have forgotten, or maybe you didn't realize it, but the Pro Bowl is Sunday at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I think it's on ESPN. Maybe. I don't know. Now, the Pro Bowl is kind of the all-star game of players that have been elected and they get to play in the big game. And I realize that the Pro Bowl isn't for me. It's not really for adults in general. Because adults, like, we want to see competitive games. And the Pro Bowl, it's not really for the players. Because the players just want to, like, not get hurt playing in a game that has no implications whatsoever. Like, they don't want to play in it. Football's a violent game. You have to play football a little bit angry and a little bit out of control to really play well. They don't want to play that game. And, you know, the Pro Bowl isn't really for the coaches because the coaches just have to work an additional week, so they don't want to do it. I think the Pro Bowl is supposed to be for kids, except I don't really think kids even watch it. What is the point of this game again? Can't we come up with something else to watch? Besides the Pro Bowl, can't the NFL do something else with this weekend prior to the Super Bowl? The Pro Bowl has run its course and has been over for about 20 years. Do something else with this game. And yes, we've come out with a number of different things they could do. There's a million options they could do with the Pro Bowl. There's a million different things they could do. If it's for the kids, can we just show, like, the kids' punt, pass, and kick competition with kids in it? Maybe you have a couple NFL guys helping them out. I'd rather watch that. Maybe we could have some of the NFL guys coaching some kids. Yeah, if it's truly for the kids, let's make it about the kids. Let's stop with this farce of a game that's just nonsense and guys just kind of standing around while we watch one team throw it down the field and then the other team throws it back down the field. And these All-Star games, I realize they peaked and were exciting in like the 50s and 60s. They're over now. Can we do away with them? There's other things we could be doing. I still think it would be a great idea if we went back to the whole Battle of the Network Stars thing and did that Pro Bowl weekend. I want to see, like, Von Miller rowing a boat, and I want to see Ben Roethlisberger has to swim. It doesn't have to be anything where there's an injury risk. You can have events that they're not going to get hurt. But Eli Manning trying to shoot a bow and arrow, give me something instead of these stupid all-star games. They're dumb. I'd rather watch a kid's punt, pass, and kick competition. That would be better. Maybe that's just me. I mean, of course, I'd rather watch coverage of the weekend's women's marches than this Pro Bowl. I'd rather watch, like, Nicolas Cage movies all day than this Pro Bowl. I'd rather watch Donald Trump sing "I Did It My Way" than this Pro Bowl. Please, 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 get rid of the Pro Bowl. Get rid of all-star games across basically every sport. If you want to do the stupid all-star game in baseball, I guess, go ahead. But these other all-star games are idiotic. A few weeks ago, there was a report that former NFL player, quarterback Johnny Manziel, had said he would be at Super Bowl 51 signing autographs for $50 a pop. You might not have realized it. Johnny Manziel was apparently at Foxborough Stadium for the Patriots game. They say he went in, he bought a Tom Brady jersey, went in to watch the game. Now, Manziel says the whole thing about him signing autographs for $50 a pop is absolutely false. That is not true. In fact, Jonathan Football says, and I quote, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." He says it's not true. He never had any intention of going to the Super Bowl and signing autographs for $50 an autograph. Hold up. Hang on, John Football. Because this might slip past some people when you say that. But Mr. Football, I live in Colorado. I've heard the stupid things that people say when they're high. You're telling me someone saying that you'd sign autographs for $50 a pop is dumber than when you said you couldn't wait to leave College Station after you got like a $25 parking ticket? Was that really dumber? Is this really the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Was it really dumber than when you told the Cleveland Browns you weren't out partying every night and then video evidence surfaced that showed you out partying every night? Really? Is it the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Yeah, I'm having a hard time believing that, Johnny Manziel. Kind of think you might be exaggerating a little bit. I mean, he once said that he was living with Von Miller, except that then Von Miller came out and said, yeah, he's not actually living with me. You're telling me saying you're going to sign autographs for $50 is dumber than not knowing where you live? I'm not believing that. And you just know, like we just all know this. With all the partying this guy has done, with all the drugs this guy has been involved in, you know Johnny Manziel has driven into the Taco Bell drive-thru and told his boys he had to turn down the radio because he can't see the menu. Like, you know that has happened. Really, Johnny Manziel? Are you really going to try to convince me, Mr. Football, that saying you would sign autographs for $50 each is dumber than when you and Josh Gordon were at Coachella trying to order three large medium pizzas?
Hey, bud, let's party.
Come on. Come on, Johnny. That's not even the dumbest thing you've heard today come out of your own mouth. Slow down, Johnny Manziel. That's not quite how that went down. You've said dumber things all day today than that. I don't know if he's going to be there signing footballs, but it's not the dumbest thing he's ever heard. Trust me on that. It's not the dumbest thing he's ever heard today. Okay, nerds, you know you have some shopping to do, and whether it's birthdays, Valentine's Day, maybe you just feel like getting some cool stuff for yourself, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Loot Crate, of course, delivers a monthly crate filled with exclusive items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, from your favorite movies, from your favorite comic books, from your favorite video games, a ton more. You can go order a crate, a subscription of crates, or even individual items. If you go over there and look, there's some cool stuff over there. You've got to check it out. The January crate I told you is called Origins. It features items from Superman, from Nintendo, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and there is a rumor, again, Daily Dose is not usually involved in too many rumors, but there is a rumor that the February crate actually features Power Rangers, Batman, Lego Dimensions, and yes, Tetris. You know who you are. You know that you want to go order some Tetris stuff off of Loot Crate. Make sure you go do it. The best part about ordering is when you place your order, put Daily Dose in the coupon box, DALYDOSE, and you will get 10% off your order. Loot Crate kicks us a little bit of money. We forward that money to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund, help some kids get involved in sports. You get what you need. You get the things that you want to buy, or your loved ones get some cool stuff. You get some cool stuff, and some needy kids get some help. Everybody wins. Make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. We saw some big blowouts. Of course, the NFL Conference Championships were a complete dud. The Atlanta Falcons crushed the Green Bay Packers by 23 points. And the New England Patriots beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by 19 points. And it didn't really even feel that close, did it? Did that feel like a 19-point game? That felt like about a 35-point game. So today, on the Daily Dose Top 5, we take a look back at the biggest blowouts in NFL conference championship history. Now, we can look at these and just say, okay, here's the biggest blowout. But there's a little more to it than that, because we might actually be able to see what kind of Super Bowl we might be in store for. Let's take a look at the biggest blowouts in NFL conference championship history. Number 5 on our list. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers went 14-2 in 1978, and they absolutely were crushing the competition. When they reached the postseason, they didn't slow down. First, they blew up the Denver Broncos 33-10 in the divisional round. I remember that game. It still hurts. It was painful. That was when the Steelers were rolling. They had a nasty defense. They had an explosive offense. Then, after beating Denver, they met the Houston Oilers in the AFC Championship. Terry Bradshaw threw for 2 touchdowns. The Steel Curtain held that explosive Houston Oilers offense to just 142 total yards. Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Houston Oilers 34-5 and had a 29-point margin. So what did that mean to the Super Bowl? Pittsburgh actually went on and played the Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowl 13. And they beat the Cowboys 35-31. That's pretty good. You blow out your conference opponent, you go to the Super Bowl, and you win the game. That was 1978. Pittsburgh Steelers with a 29-point victory in their conference championship. Number 4 on our list was a 30-point victory. Just barely beat that one out. And it took place back in 1975. The Dallas Cowboys blew out the Los Angeles Rams in the 1975 NFC Championship game. Roger Staubach threw for 4 touchdowns, and that doomsday defense beat up a young quarterback nicknamed the Polish Rifle. Do you know who the Polish Rifle is? That's right. Ron Jaworski actually started his career in Los Angeles before he went to Philly and played those seasons with the Eagles. Jaworski on this day threw 2 interceptions. The Rams had just 118 yards all day. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Rams 37-7. Went on to the Super Bowl. How did that turn out? Well, in Super Bowl 10, they lost. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat them 21-17. Didn't go so well for that one. Hey, blew out their opponent, and they went to the Super Bowl and lost. We've got 1-1. We've had a big win and a loss. Let's go on to number 3 on our list. Number 3 is a margin of 31 points. And that was when the Washington Redskins blew out the Detroit Lions and Barry Sanders in 1991. Barry Sanders had just 44 yards, and Washington quarterback Mark Rippon threw 2 touchdowns in the win. And then we remember what happened in the Super Bowl, right? 1991. Buffalo Bills' Thurman Thomas lost his helmet prior to Super Bowl 26, and Mark freaking Rippon actually won a Super Bowl, proving that Joe Gibbs is probably one of the greatest NFL coaches in history. The fact that he took Mark Rippon to a Super Bowl, Doug Williams, Joe Theismann, Joe Gibbs is underrated. I'm telling you right now, Joe Gibbs is an underrated coach. So, Washington wins a blowout, they go on to the Super Bowl, and they win another blowout. That's 1991. Number 2 on our list of blowout conference championship games took place back in 2000. It was a 41-point win as the New York Giants beat the Vikings 41-0. The Giants had nearly 400 yards passing from who? Kerry Collins. Collins threw 5 touchdowns. And on the other side, Dante Culpepper threw 3 interceptions, and he passed for just 78 yards. The Giants went on to Super Bowl 35, where they got pounded 34-7 by the Baltimore Ravens. So the big blowout didn't matter there. They had the big blowout in the conference championship. They went on to the Super Bowl, actually got blown out themselves in that game. So what is number 1 on our list? What is the biggest blowout in NFL conference championship history? Actually took place following the 1990 season for a 48-point margin. Jim Kelly threw for 300 yards. Thurman Thomas actually had his helmet this game, ran for 138 yards, and James Lofton caught 5 passes for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Buffalo Bills beat the Los Angeles Raiders and Jay Schrader, yes, 51-3. And then the Bills went on to Super Bowl 25, and you just might remember this clip from CBS Sports.
It is a 47-yard try by Scott Norwood to try to win the game for Buffalo.
Lingner will snap it. Wright will hold it. Norwood will kick it from the right hash mark with 8 seconds left and the Giants leading Buffalo 20-19. It's a 47-yard kick for the Bills. Norwood assumes the position. Lingner waits to snap it. We wait. There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
Yes, Scott Norwood misses. It's a long field goal. I can't put too much blame on him. It's a long kick. But the Buffalo Bills lost 20-19 to the New York Giants. So do blowouts in the conference championships really matter? Sure doesn't look like it, does it? Of the top five blowouts that we have seen, three of them ended up losing the Super Bowl the next week. But here is the one key that I want to focus on. Of those five blowouts, three of those teams ended up playing in a very, very close Super Bowl game. This year, the Falcons beat the Packers by 23 points. The Patriots beat the Steelers by 19 points. Both, I'd say, are considered blowouts. Let's just hope that the Super Bowl ends up being another one of those close games and we actually get a Super Bowl classic. Hey, in 2 weeks, it'll be here. Next week on the show, we will have our complete Daily Dose Super Bowl 51 preview. And I'm telling you, we break it down like no one else. We will tell you who is going to win the biggest game of the year. Plus, got to talk some NBA, college basketball, and of course, we always have our Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that's going to go. If you get a chance, please go to wherever it is that you download the show and just click that little subscribe button. It helps us get seen by a few more people, and then you will be sure you won't miss a single episode of the Daily Dose. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. You can email us dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And be sure to do any shopping that you might need to do at lootcrate.com/dailydose and enter Daily Dose into the coupon box to get 10% off your order. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.